How about that iPad?
What about it?
I can tell you that I don't want to buy one. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 30th, 2010. This is Mike Minaya, joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
So, hey, how's it going?
Doing good.
All right, so here's our show.
Listen to that. I can just look in the mirror and see.
Yeah.
I have to turn my head.
Yeah, but once again, we're trying to squeeze in the show amongst any free time we have. Crazy weekend.
Yeah.
Weddings and secret projects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's what we're doing. We're starting off with the news. Then we'll go into the Great American Ajguy Gaming Quiz. We're doing Let's Go Topical this week.
Woo!
Yep, then our week in gaming. Do the releases, and that'll be the show, so let's just get to it.
Okay.
Let's hear the news.
So
there's not that much news, is there?
No, there's a lot of weird fluff things, but this is the important stuff. So the guy who jailbroke the iPhone has apparently hacked the PS3 and released his method to the wild. We don't have any homebrew yet. There's no, like, Hello World app yet, but it's coming.
What things do you think we'll be able to do? Like run Windows on it, stuff like that?
That'd be crazy. Probably not Windows because it wouldn't be device drivers. But
Linux? Couldn't you already do that?
They took that out of the Slims. But you could before, yeah.
I wonder what that was like. But okay, interesting.
So yeah, we'll see what happens, I guess. If you want a Classic Controller Pro for your Wii, you'll have to get Monster Hunter Tri. They're bundling it for $60.
Isn't some Monster Hunter game coming out on the 360?
Yeah, it's a 2007 PC game that they're just porting to the 360. Remember, like, the beginning of the console generation where everything just looked like up-res Xbox games?
Yeah.
I.e. pretty shitty? Yeah, it's one of those.
Right, all right.
Oh, I mean, it looks bad.
Oh, goody.
But yes. Monster Hunter Tri has some interest in, because I always felt like that game would be fun if you had, like, four or five people to play.
I don't know the first thing about Monster Hunter. I never tried it. All I know is that it's popular in Japan. Mm-hmm.
Then, this doesn't surprise me, but I guess it's worth noting that with the upcoming Microsoft Game Room, if there's, like, an arcade game in that you already own as an Xbox Live arcade game, you won't be able to, like, import it. You have to buy it again.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Also, you can't do any teen or rated M games in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
Well, how many of those old arcade games would be rated M?
I don't know.
They're playing
Mortal Kombat,
Revenge.
I guess?
I don't think the games that modern would be in it, do you think?
Well, what about, like, Ultimate World Combat 3?
I guess. I don't know.
How modern is that? Modern?
Yeah, but is that going to...
It was an arcade game. Why
I know,
it?
But it seems like the purview of this service is, like...
Like Centipede?
Yeah, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's possible.
See, I don't have as much interest in that. I was kind of hoping this would just be, like, all of your Xbox Live arcade games can be in there.
No, it's its own thing.
All right.
They released a patch for Bayonetta on the PS3 that allows you to install to the hard drive, thus helping the load times. The frame rate issues are still yet to be worked out, but
wow,
that's something.
It's something. It helps. This is going to be our fastest news segment ever.
This is just blown through this. We'll have a discussion. that's what I'm kind of relying on. No LAN or dedicated servers for BioShock 2.
This is also I guess it's BioShock's a console game, so this stuff doesn't surprise me as
much.
Yeah,
I just like the kind of excuse was we ran out of resources. Like, oh, the
resources.
The five development teams didn't have time to fit this in.
Like, it's not like Modern Warfare where the crux of their game is multiplayer.
Right. I get the feeling BioShock 2 multiplayer is going to be like Call of War as multiplayer. People will try it, but no one's going to like hardcore play it.
Right.
We also have the name announcement for the new Borderlands DLC, The Secret Armory of General Knox, with two X's. They like putting a lot of X's on things, I've noticed.
Right, right.
But this is the one that'll raise the level cap.
Oh, nice.
And let's get to what everybody cares about this week, the iPad.
Do people care?
Well, it's a hot topic.
I guess so. I mean, it's there.
Well, let's give the details.
I still don't quite understand the relevance to gaming that this has.
Well, let's run through this now. They have
everyone knows about the iPad.
You'll have three models, 5, 6, and $700 for 16, 32, and 64 gigs. If you add $130 to one of those costs, you also get a 3G antenna in there where you can get wireless anywhere for $15 a month for 250 megabytes of data or $30 a month for unlimited.
Can you call people on it?
No.
I know a device that can do that.
Yes. It is basically, in fact, a very large iPod Touch. You know, it is what it is, I guess. The conference was just...
I didn't see it.
Apple was damned impressed with themselves about this thing. And I don't think they realize it is just a big iPod Touch. I mean, Steve Jobs is up there like, I could just scroll the web by flicking through it and just touching the screen to go where I want. And I was like, yeah, we've been doing that for right. 3 years. Great. What else does it do? Yeah, it's got a book reader on there. It looks nice, I guess. And but, you know, they're trying to show it off as a gaming thing. So first they bring up the guys from Gameloft who made Nova, which is like this first-person shooter on the iPhone, which uses like a virtual thumbstick. But the thing is,
I hate virtual thumbsticks.
Well, it looks even worse than this because it's this huge device and it's got a, kind of a thick border around the touchable area. Just like really stretch your thumb in there to grab it. It looks like. Right. No, I just don't see that working at all. But then, like, they had like the new Need for Speed shift for. Like, I think they're just like all the iPhone games just quickly ported over. It does have like you can run any iPhone app on this and it'll either display it at the native resolution or double scale it. And that's nice. So you don't have to like rebuy all these apps.
You know how I feel about iPod games to begin with,
right?
So
they also showed off like the iWork suite running on it. They're gonna have a dock that has a keyboard, or you can just hook it up to like a Bluetooth keyboard.
Okay, whatever.
This thing will live and die by what kind of apps come out for people can take advantage of it.
I guess I don't know. I just don't understand. I just need to see what this thing actually is.
No, of course.
Right now, I'm just confused.
We have, of course, Nintendo and Sony's reactions to it. I like Iwata. It was a bigger iPod Touch, he told the Associated Press, saying that the device offered no surprises. The DSi XL, meanwhile, is a unique and innovative product, wouldn't you say?
Look, okay, wait, listen now. In their defense, they never marketed the DSi XL as the next big thing.
Right. Right. I do want to show out there, too, in the same interview when Iwata was asked about 3D gaming, Joystick had this quote up and they kind of said what I was thinking it before I read this part. What is feeling about 3D glasses and gaming? I have doubts whether people will be wearing glasses to play games at home. How is that going to look to other people? Have you ever watched anyone play the Wii?
Right.
I think wearing some glasses on your face
is
the least of your concerns when you're playing a Wii game.
Right. Yeah. How's that? What would be weird about that? I'm wearing glasses.
Yeah, he's wearing glasses in this picture.
He wears them all the time.
Yeah.
He probably has a sight problem.
Of course, Sony is psyched that the iPad doesn't look that
great. See, I almost like Nintendo's quote better. At least they were sincere.
Yeah.
Sony's being smarky as hell.
Yes. They say Apple's entrance into the portable gaming space has been a net positive for Sony. This is Sony's John Kohler, Director of Hardware Marketing to the Wall Street Journal. When people want a deeper, richer console, they start playing on a PSP. No, they start playing on a DS.
But... Wait, whose PSP are they playing on? Because I'm looking at the sales for the PSP. But it's not new ones. They're not buying them. You know what? I have to say this. I went to the game store there because I was looking for a PSP game. There's a PSP game I wanted to get. Have you been in a GameStop and looked at the PSP section?
It's just like a shelf.
It's not a shelf on the wall.
Yeah, it's like that freestanding shelf.
It's like one shelf.
Yeah, like next to like the PlayStation 2 games.
At what point is the PSP like in trouble is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Like, at what point is, like, the PSP, like, maybe going to die? Like, is it just a fact that they can just sustain it no matter what and, like, they're kind of in it for the long haul so they don't care?
Yes. Like, a little bit of a stubbornness.
But that just fascinated me. I mean, like, it has no presence in a video game store. Mm. Like, there was nothing there.
Like I said, I mean, Sony's quote is like, ha, Apple thought they were going to beat the PSP, but their thing's not that great of a gaming machine. It's like, they didn't say it was just that. It does a bunch of other things, too, that they seem proud of. Basically, they think this is going to kill netbooks. But you can't even multitask on this still,
right?
Which is still a problem. I don't know.
It does some neat
things. I don't need one.
Oh, that's right. You can't have like two. You can't have two programs open at the same time.
No.
Well, I don't get it.
Now, this is the one thing that I like about the iPad for a weird reason. It runs off of this new chip that Apple made. It's called the Apple A4 processing chip. It's like, I mean, supposedly it is like super fast. Like it is really peppy. That chip will probably find its way into the new iPhone that's going to come out this summer. So
I'm sure we won't be getting a new iPhone as soon as we would have because they kind of.
No, they'll keep it on. It seems like one every June. That's what they've done the last three
months. So you think this June we're going to get a new iPhone?
Yeah.
You think they're. You th- why would they release a new iPhone that is probably going to compete against their own iPad?
Because they'll sell a shit ton.
I think right now they're worried about selling iPads.
They're not worried. Here's the thing. This is what a friend of mine was saying. People like us, people, you folk listening to this podcast, we probably don't give two shits about the iPad. We have our computer. We have our iPhone. We might have a netbook, whatever. This is going to sell to the people who don't have those devices. They're going to see the Apple thing. They're going to recognize that. It's only $500, which is not a bad price. People will buy these.
You're saying no.
It's not going to be it's not going to be like a phenomenon like the iPhone is.
No, people aren't buying these over like a laptop.
I wouldn't be surprised if some people do.
If you won't buy an iPhone, why are you going to buy this?
Because you don't want a cell phone contract.
Then buy an iPod. Then why didn't they buy an iPod Touch? Because that has a stigma as a music device. No, it's too small.
So, I mean, if you just want something to browse the internet and check your email, why wouldn't you get this for $500?
Get a computer.
They don't want a computer.
If they don't want a computer, they don't want to check their email and go on the internet. If you don't have a computer right now, you don't care about that stuff. You know,
maybe they want something just portable, like they have a desktop PC, but they just want something to carry around with them.
Who are these people? Who are these people who want a portable PC device but don't have one yet?
Right.
I don't buy it.
I'd like to think Apple knows what they're doing. Now, granted, going into this conference, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just going to be a big iPod Touch. It's like, no, there's got to be more to it than that. There wasn't. But Apple wouldn't make this if they didn't think they could sell it. I'm sure they've done a lot of market research.
Why would Sony make something if they didn't think they could sell and they made the PSP Go? Why wouldn't Sony be smart enough not to do that? Yeah.
It's hard to answer that question without me making just sound like I hate Sony. So I'm not going to say anything.
But seriously, you can't just say, well, they know what they're doing. Corporations, they obviously make big mistakes.
Right.
I mean, hey, Apple, for quite some time until the iPod came out, they were in trouble. They weren't doing all that well.
I do like one image I saw online. It was like, dear Apple, we wanted this. And it showed a MacBook Air and like scissors cutting off the keyboard. Not this. And it shows an iPad at the bottom. It says, please stop self-congratulating yourselves on all your innovation. You're making us look like douchebags.
Right. But, no, I don't buy that this is going to somehow appeal to people who don't like computers.
I don't, okay.
See, that's like.
Okay, fine. Whatever that may be. I still don't see why you think this would screw up the plan to release a new iPhone in a year. Because you know why they're going to release a new iPhone this summer? The bulk of iPhone customers have iPhone 3Gs. This summer marks 2 years. It's time to upgrade. All
right, fine. Maybe they'll do that. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't, though. Okay, whatever. Let's move. We're done with the iPad. I still don't even see how gaming related this really is. I guess it kind of is. People are responding to it.
Hmm.
What are you? You ready for the quiz?
Yeah.
All right. Open it and then don't look, I guess.
Okay.
All right. It's time for the Great American Asgard Gaming Quiz.
Here we go.
Five questions and the bonus question. You need 5 points to win. First question: what was the GameCube's code name?
Project Dolphin.
Yeah, Dolphin. Project Dolphin. That's good. All right. Question two. What is the name of the GameCube's GPU?
The Flipper.
Yes. I'm surprised you remember that. All right. Question three. Panasonic released a hybrid GameCube DVD player. What was it called?
The Panasonic Q.
Did you look at this?
No.
All right.
They were just talking about it on a Four Guys One Up a few weeks ago. But I remember that still. Kind of wanted
question
one.
Question four. What system was unveiled at the 2000 Game Developers Conference?
System was unveiled. The DS. No.
The DS.
That was in 2004. Hang on. Let me backtrack. Like,
Getting a freebie there. I'm like, 2000?
I don't know. Is it the GameCube?
The Xbox.
Oh.
Question five. What was the original name for the Xbox?
Had a different name? I don't know.
The Direct Xbox.
That's where the X comes
yes,
from.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
Huh. I never made that connection.
Yeah, there it is. All right. You got 3 points, so try not to feel too miserable. You can get
my bonus question?
Well, here it is right now.
Oh.
Okay, what was the U.S. release date for the PS2? Exact.
Oh, damn it. November 16th, 2000.
October 26th, 2000.
I was off.
Yes, but all right. You're going strong for a while there.
Yeah.
For some reason, you know a lot about the GameCube.
Yeah, apparently. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go topical.
Okay.
Okay. We've got six topics here. So let's go through them. Mm-hmm. First one, Nintendo and Sony should feel threatened by the iPad.
No more than they are by the iPhone. Again, gaming is not the primary purpose of the device.
But that's what they're pushing that part of it pretty strongly.
Yeah, they pushed it, but like, you know, like I said, they didn't have anything really compelling to show at the conference as far as like, this is an iPad game that is only on the iPad, and it's amazing for the iPad.
Now, they've been working hard just to push the iPod Touch as a gaming device. Has that worked at all?
To a degree. I mean, again, it's like, it's about as successful as you might call Facebook as a successful gaming platform, or that you might say Farmville is the most popular game in the world, which it is, but it's Farmville. You know, they're selling a lot of 99-cent games and stuff on the iPhone, and they will on the iPad, that they're not so much a threat to Nintendo and Sony. Maybe it's a threat to their downloadable services, like things like DSiWare or PSP Minis or whatever. But no, I mean, like, you know, there's still that distinction of anything costing more than $10, on, even $8 on the iPhone App Store is, like, a travesty.
All right. The Nintendo DS will be the best-selling console of our lifetime.
Probably.
I think it is. It's right now it is.
And, yeah, especially when you combine all these SKUs. Right.
And there was a new story where the Wii passed up the NES recently.
Oh, really?
Right.
Wow.
But DS, yeah. Well, I mean, now that we're getting, it seems like we're getting to a point where console lifespans are getting longer and longer. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the next thing will be around for 20 years.
That could be. I don't know.
I mean, how DS has been around for 6 years now.
Wow, right? That's hard to believe. Yeah,
it almost feels like longer in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's a long life. I mean, the original Game Boy had a long lifespan, though. Actually, right?
It just had no competition.
And that had a pretty big lull for a while.
Right.
There was like a time where
Pokemon, I think, artificially extended the life of the Game Boy.
Pokemon brought it back from almost the grave.
Yeah.
It all of a sudden, it was interesting because after Pokemon almost single-handedly kind of revitalized that whole thing. Because shortly after Pokemon, we had the Game Boy Color,
mm-hmm.
and then like almost from Pokemon, like all of a sudden the Game Boy development. Like for a while, it was just the Game Boy. Then Pokemon came out, then all of a sudden, here's the Game Boy Color, and then a couple years, here's the Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. A few years later, here's the DS, and it's like, oh shit, here it keeps coming, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, the DS, it's a big seller. I don't know about. Then I think there might be something. Who knows what the future is going to hold? I mean, who would have thought in 20 years, you know, we started with Nintendo on top, then we had the period where, like, they were in last place for a while, then they, like, came back on top again out of nowhere.
Right.
It's, who knows what's going to happen? Here's the next one. Metroid Other M, which was just announced, is going to come out this summer, in Japan at least. So, Metroid Other M will live up to the hype.
Where are we on the hype scale with this game?
It's pretty high. People kind of want this to be, like, let's say if the Xbox has like Halo
mm-hmm.
3 and stuff, and the PS3 has Uncharted 2, people need Metroid Other M to be that for the Wii. Can it be?
Here's a problem. Like, fundamentally going for hardcore gamers on the Wii, and I hate to say it because it is shallow, but the thing is, it's not going to look as good as those games. And you want it to.
Right. I mean, it is a problem.
I mean, they got, like, Mario Galaxy still looked great, but that was able to be a little more cartoony. Metroid has a slightly more realistic art style. And, you know, it's like, they're just going to have to pull off some tricks to really get it to look good.
Yeah.
Gameplay-wise, I feel like it could be good. So
I still don't really quite understand what it's going to be like gameplay-wise.
Right. It looks like it's all over the place.
Right. It's like kind of 2.5D. I need to see more. I'm surprised when they said this summer in Japan. That mm-hmm. kind of
seems soon.
It seemed very soon.
You think it would come out here first? I mean, Metroid's always been bigger in the States,
right? Well, yeah, especially once. Yeah, you know, even before Metroid Prime, it always mm-hmm. was.
Yeah,
I don't even think the Japanese care all that much. Which it's funny that they kind of keep going back to the Metroid well after they left it alone for so long,
mm-hmm.
and now we had the Metroid Prime games. And now they're doing this. They're already rebooting the whole franchise again with it. Right, not rebooting, but you know, relaunching.
Yeah.
Re-envisioning it. They put a lot of money in the whole Metroid thing. Alright, here's the next one. It's too early for a new Pokemon game.
Now, I figured you'd bring this up here so I can bring up the news. When they say new Pokemon game, do they mean like you're not going to be walking around a world map with 6 Pokemon? Like, this is new.
No, they mean the next generation. If Red and Blue is the first generation, Gold, Silver, second, this is 5th generation now. Mm. The 5th generation Pokemon games are coming out. It'll probably, I mean, you know, we don't know, but presumably it'll be you'll pick one of the three starters, you go fight eight gym leaders, go to the Elite Four, that kind of thing.
I think it's fine.
The timing is about the same. It just feels sooner because before there'd always been one generation on each platform.
Right.
But the DS has been around longer.
I think because it is going to be on the same hardware, I hope they kind of try harder than maybe they have in the past.
Maybe I think there's more things we can do with the presentation now.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like they're still just enhanced versions of the original 1996 Game Boy game. The battles aren't particularly animated. You're still moving through the same basic town sprites.
Overhead. They're
slightly 3D now, but not really. I just feel like they need to... I don't know. They just need to pep it up a bit. So I keep using that word.
Yeah, what's with you and pep all of a
sudden? I don't know.
We've been hanging out with somebody who's been saying it too much.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm down for Pokemon.
I enjoy Pokemon. Yeah,
I'll get it. Are you getting the Gold and Silver remakes?
Probably.
Yeah, me too.
Fucking
but yeah, I mean, I would like to see. You know what? I think it's okay if they want to go with that formula on the portable systems again, because I understand the appeal. Because there's always new kids who this will be their first Pokemon,
right?
You know, it's a pretty reasonably good formula.
One thing I want to see too, they need to figure out a way to lock down the online so it's not just all hacked Pokemon getting around. That kind of ruined that. I mean, I was like, oh, thank God it's online, but it's like unusable.
Well, it wasn't unusable; it was almost too convenient.
Right,
was a problem.
That might be what I mean. Yeah,
like you know, if like, well, I want this Pokemon before it was like, oh man, when I get now, you can just you know go find it.
Just trade a Pidgey for it,
right? I'm okay with these games being traditional. I'm still waiting for like the console Pokemon game.
It's not gonna happen.
That's like I don't know
why it's not, but it's not gonna happen.
Right? Like
it should.
Where is that game?
Where
it's kind of like those. Like they had that one. Like that Pokemon Colosseum 2 had like a single player story mode.
Yeah, it was so half-assed.
Right. It wasn't quite. Yeah. Like where is that game? I'm still waiting for that one. And if you know, if the Wii wasn't the Wii, I'd be asking for the Pokemon MMO. But
right.
I'm not gonna.
Right.
The Wii
Let's
being what
crazy,
it is.
Okay. This is Nintendo.
I think by maybe the next whatever the next Wii is, presumably one of the things they're going to improve will be online stuff.
They have
right?
to. They have to.
Like I don't know what they're going to do about graphics, but online stuff has to be more important.
Right.
Presumably, the next Nintendo system can support an MMO. And if they're going to do that, the obvious thing is a Pokemon MMO.
Right.
Okay. Next one. Project Needle Mouse will be named Sonic the Hedgehog 4. Now, the name's being announced Monday.
Yeah. If they're now, smart.
No. I think last time they did this with, find out what characters are going to be in Sonic the Hedgehog or in Project Needle Mouse, the whole point of it was to just kind of be like, oh, we're being traditional, guys. I think the whole point of this building up to the name tease thing is to just get us and say, look, it's just Sonic the Hedgehog 4. Like, they're making a very big point. Mm-hmm. Of saying that this is traditional.
Right.
And I think that's where it's going. And I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know why more people don't, like, kind of go back to, like, your old series and, they, you know, use those numbers again.
Right.
I liked that Mega Man did it. I liked that Contra did it.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Contra 4.
Contra 4. I'd be down for Sonic the Hedgehog 4. You don't really have very many thoughts on this.
No, I'm trying so hard to keep my enthusiasm in check. That maybe this time,
right.
After the last four times of fucking it up, they'll get it right now.
Is it Sonic Team?
No, I don't think so.
That's very encouraging.
I think that's that. Sonic needs to get away from Sonic Team. They're not
Isn't
good
that
for
sad?
Him.
I used to think like Sonic Team was like the coolest. Like, oh, they made Sonic and Knights.
Yeah, but then let's look what happened. They made that weird game with the kid and the eggs and the chicken suits. Then they made all the shitty Sonic
but
games.
Isn't it weird how...
Then Knights 2 sucked.
Isn't it weird how innovative... Like, everything Sega did seemed during Dreamcast.
They know. They just stopped like, trying. They're like, okay, we're just going to focus on the software now. We're just not going to do it as good anymore. It's like, what?
Like, why did everything they do seem brilliant?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird, though? Like, it seemed fascinating.
Yeah, they just kind of, like, stopped trying.
Like, I've never seen such a quick turnaround on a publisher or developer, whatever you would call them these days. I don't even
Right.
Whatever they are. All right, here's the last one. God of War 3 will be the best-selling PS3 exclusive.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
What is right now? Metal Gear Solid, I guess, probably?
Maybe.
What else would it be? They lost Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
They lost... It won't be Final Fantasy 13, because that's not theirs anymore.
I don't know.
God of War 3 will sell more than Final Fantasy 13 anyways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is going to sell systems. They'll have the bundle, and it'll do well, and... Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this will be big.
You think about it, this is like the except for Metal Gear Solid. Even Metal Gear Solid, when Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, the franchise wasn't at the peak of its popularity anymore.
Mm-hmm.
God of War is still at the peak of its popularity.
The timing of the release of the God of War trilogy was smart.
Right,
that was, they handled that well.
But this is like the first time it's like, here's a sequel from a PS2 series that is as popular as it's ever been, and you can only get it on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like the other big games. A lot of the big PS3 games so far have originated on the PS3, which is interesting.
Right.
They aren't really carryovers. Like, yeah, Ratchet and Clank and stuff like that. You know, those games sell as well as Ratchet and Clank titles will.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they lost Grand Theft Auto, which was a big deal. Metal Gear Solid 4, it did well, but, you know, there used to be a frenzy for Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
You know.
I think people are finally starting to get sick of it.
Not so much, yeah, but the first Metal Gear Solid had a mass appeal. That almost seemed accidental.
And it was leaps and bounds beyond anything else been done.
And it almost seems accidental now, because the rest of the games now, they're kind of so... it's not for everyone at all.
No.
I mean, you know, but they lost Final Fantasy. They lost Grand Theft Auto. You know, other things. So it'll be interesting. Final Fantasy 13. Yeah, I saw something where book or something about Final Fantasy 13. They have, like, pictures of the game running on the PS2 back when they were first developing it. But it wasn't so much that they ever thought they were going to release on the PS2, but just like when they were developing it, they didn't have like the PS3 kits yet. Isn't it weird how long that game has to take to make?
Good lord.
Just think, Final Fantasy 12 came out in 2006.
Really?
It's weird that there's 4 years. I mean,
jeez.
4 years. When like up, you know, there was a time where they had like, where 12 of them came out within 20 years of each other or something like that. So for a while, it was like every other year you'd get one. And for a bit, even, there was every year you'd get one.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, 4 years. It's an interesting thing we're hearing about now, how like there isn't a whole lot of like exploration in it or side quests or stuff like that. It's very linear for an RPG like that, which I don't think it'll bother me, but I can it'll be interesting to see what Final Fantasy 13 is finally like, won't
it? Yeah, to say the least.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Good job. Yep. I've been playing a lot of games, but I'm not allowed to talk about any of them, so you have to talk about your games.
Okay. I beat Mass Effect, the first one.
Oh, good. I was playing it, too.
It's really, 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 really good.
You know what? I would argue that Mass Effect is just good and not really, really, really good.
Why is that?
Because I'm not saying it's not amazing. What about it is amazing?
I don't know. It's just... It's...
That's what I want to know. I understand why Mass Effect's good, but why is it amazing? Why?
It's just one of those games that, for me, and this is what BioWare does well, it allows me to really get invested in the character I created. I like that about it.
I want to hear more of an argument for the mechanics. I don't want to hear about your unquantifiable.
As you're going towards the end of the game, you hit the point where you realize, like, you kind of know when you're going to, like, the last mission. But then within that mission, you hit the point and you realize you're really driving to the end now. And it's just this friggin' roller coaster ride of awesome shit happening right up to the credits. And like literally by the end of it, I was like tired.
I still just have I have a problem with some of the base mechanics. I still don't understand what kind of game it wants to be. And you said that Mass Effect 2 is even more of a shooter.
Yeah, well, let me quick transition. So yeah, I basically finished Mass Effect 1, watched the credits, decrypted the files from Mass Effect 2, imported my character and started that. Which is a jarring transition, actually, because Mass Effect 2, and I've only played like an hour and a half of it so far, is a very different game. Whereas Mass Effect 1 felt more like an RPG with shooter elements, this is a shooter with RPG elements.
I would have called Mass Effect 1 a shooter with RPG elements.
This is a shooter. This is pretty much a shooter, except, okay, it is so much a shooter that you do a mission, they're fairly linear, and when you get to the end of the mission, there's like a mission complete screen with a picture of this one particular character and a listing of how much credits you found, how much XP you got, any major items you found.
That's weird.
Like you beat a level in Doom. It is kind
of
weird.
See, when I play Mass Effect, I feel like it needs to be more of an RPG, not more of a shooter.
But here's the thing, though. There are between missions where you are just in like an open area, like you're on your ship or you're in a city.
Is it still role playing?
Yeah, and you're going up to people and you're having the conversations and everything. It's just like when you're actually in a combat mission, it's a lot more streamlined. I mean, you don't even have an inventory. The only time you can equip stuff is when you go to weapon lockers that you might find mid mission or between missions. It's really strange. But I mean, it's just, the thing is, it's really fast paced and it's really fun. The mechanics are really sound.
Is the dialogue tree better?
Yeah. I mean, I thought they were good in the first one too.
Okay, the bullshit. They were good in the first one.
They're better. Like they.
Here's the problem with them in the first one. You know, you have that radio thing, and it's always top right, good answer; middle one, neutral answer; bottom, evil answer.
Yeah, it still does that.
That's so. I'm like so that. Over that.
I kind of like it. It keeps the conversations flowing.
Well, that's not the point. It's not role playing. Here's the three things you can say, and it's always the same thing. So if you're a good character, always pick the top right one. That's what I mean. It's never situational. It's always, who are you? And then keep going with that.
Well, but then there's stuff on the left side that'll come up.
That's always just like that. That's always just, tell me more about. That's all that is. It's not. You're not having a conversation with anybody.
What kind of things would they put there instead?
What do you mean?
Well, what other answer is there to most situations than I'm going to be good about it, I'm going to be a dick about it, or I'm going to be neutral to it?
You can say more than a couple things. I can't go into specifics.
I understand what you want.
I don't want it to be... Look, even if, like, the good answer was on the bottom sometimes, how about that? Does they have to just... It's just... When I'm going through a dialogue stream, I'm just constantly clicking top right, top right, top right. Top right, I'm good. Top right. You don't see the problem with this.
No, I like that because I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. I hate an RPG.
Well, you know, you don't know exactly what you're saying, but you're going to say the same thing.
But, like, you know, it'll say, like, something general, like a phrase, but that's not what your character says verbatim.
Even in Dragon Age, there's a lot of different things you can say, and it's never blatantly the evil or good one. Dragon Age is a lot better about it than Mass Effect.
Well, Dragon Age's morality, quote unquote, was more based around your relationship with your party rather than a good path or an evil path. Mass Effect carries over that whole Paragon Renegade thing from the first one.
And stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, it was kind of inconsequential. I don't really know what having Paragon points did for you. It's not like there were Paragon powers. But that's the other thing I should mention too, like the power, like the skill tree, you basically have 5 skills. That's it. You're not, like, leveling up your individual weapon skills anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like I said, it's just streamlined. The other weird thing, too, coming right off Mass Effect 1, they completely juggled the controls around on the keyboard in, like, a really strange way. Right. I like it. It just got used to it. Whereas in Mass Effect 1, it was hold down the space bar to pause action, shift button was run, E was use. In this game, shift is the pause action, space bar is a combination of run and use.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it takes some getting used to.
Can you just change it?
Yeah, I probably could. I'll just leave it. It has, like, hit-specific damage. Like, you're fighting some mechs in the beginning. You can shoot their arms off, shoot them in the head, and stuff like that. That's all really good. I'm just trying to think what else to say about it. And I'm also trying not to talk about the story. I mean, you know, it's good. The first 20 minutes are exhilarating. Particularly if you did import a character. Because it really is cool. You know, I haven't really done that before. I know a lot of RPGs back in the day used to do it. But it is cool to see that same exact character I was playing before still in this game. There's one thing that drives me nuts, though. When I made this character, you know, I kind of copied as best I could the character I made the Xbox version on the PC version of Mass Effect 1. And you just give him a first name. It doesn't matter because everyone calls you Shepard.
Right.
So I called her Miranda Shepard. One of the first party characters you get is named Miranda.
Wow.
I was like, God damn it. It would have been great if, like, just for that eventuality, they would have made something like, oh, you're Miranda too? Wow, that must be confusing for you.
Oh, yeah.
just that one-off thing.
See,
that
I like awesome. How me wanting more than one good or bad dialogue option per conversation is ridiculous, but you want the game to recognize that you have the same character as one of your supporting cast. Me wanting more than 3 dialogue options is ridiculous.
I said it'd be neat. That's all. I'm not like, this game now gets a C.
See, yeah. You immediately jump to the one-ups crazy review system.
Yeah. Also, should talk about the Cerberus network, which is how they kind of serve DLC in this game. The thing I don't like about the PC version, I expect it to be like an in-game store kind of thing.
You click go to a website?
It kicks you out to a website. Nah, you download files, and yeah, it's strange. It worked for me at least. I know a lot of people have trouble with it.
I think I have no interest in DLC anyways.
Oh, that's a lot. Mostly.
What was the DLC for Mass Effect 1? Was there like levels?
Yeah, they did 2 kind of expansion missions. I never played either of them.
No, okay.
But I mean, this stuff was like, you know, that's how you got like your pre-order bonus items.
Right, right.
They kind of just like Shale and Dragon 8, and there's a mercenary a player character you get named Zaid.
There's a character you can't get?
I mean, it's the free DLC for buying new, just like Shale.
Is he, which one is he?
Zaid is his name.
Is he, but in the advertisements they showed all the characters. Is he one of those?
I went like media dark on this. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, okay.
He's a human merc.
I don't think he is. That's weird.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's sweet. I really like it a lot. I also got the iPhone game. I haven't gotten to play it yet.
Oh, God. Okay, that's fine.
I also got on the iPhone, but this is like an actual game that wasn't game, and it's a game. Broken Sword. Point and click adventure game.
Yeah, I know.
It's really good. I never played these games before, but the iPhone one just came out, and I like how they do it. Where if you hold down your finger on the screen, as you get closer to hotspots, they kind of just like have like a little blue pulse on them, mm-hmm. and then you click the hotspot, and then the contextual things pop up there. So there's kind of pixel hunting, but not really. Bad. Yeah, and it works really well for the iPhone, you know, control type. It's a good game. That's voice good. Acting's good.
We've only been doing this for 36 minutes.
That's it.
Oh, jeez.
Did you play anything else?
No.
No?
No.
Star Trek Online went live.
Well, I haven't been able to play it yet.
I made my alien.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on, I guess.
All right. two downloads.
All right, what do we have?
All right, we have, on the WiiWare, we have Uno, something called Bitos. I have no idea what that is, and... This one I do know what it is, because the title is Aha, I Found It, Hidden Object Game, just in case you didn't know.
That's I Spy.
Yeah, I like how they put that in, like, that would convince me to not buy it, whatever. DSI has Number Battle.
Oh, sweet.
A-Race Tunnel, although I think it's supposed to say Air Race, I could be wrong. Escapee Go.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And then on Xbox Live Arcade, we have something called Chris X. And on Xbox Originals, Dead Rising and Halo Wars.
Halo Wars sure did set the world on fire, didn't it?
I know they said it did, you know, well enough to, you know, they made money on it and everything. It seems like a lot of people think it was a case of people like, oh, a new Halo game. The hell?
Right.
What is this? On the PSN, we have Hustler Kings, Dexter, Neo, and Assault Heroes. Some PSP minis, Dracula, Undead Awakening, Pinball Dreams, Route 66, and Deflector. And two PS1 games, Extreme Pinball, and High Octane, The Track Fights Back.
All right.
Good Old Games launched their new deal with Activision. We have Arcanum of Steamworks and Magic Obscura, which is the old former Black Isle guys made this RPG. And the first Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Fathers.
Cool.
Pete wrote a very nice write-up on that game, actually.
Retail games, pretty big week, actually. MAG came out on the PS3. I didn't know that came out.
Yep.
How come there aren't really any reviews for it yet?
I think it's because of the multiplayer nature of it. You need to give it some time,
I guess. But that's out. Mass Effect 2, 360, and PC.
I know, like, the 360 version is, like, the second highest rated 360 game after Grand Theft Auto 4 on the Metacritic so far.
Well, it's pretty... Okay. Cool. Did Mass Effect 1 ever go to PS3?
No. Ever? Well, Microsoft published Mass Effect 1. That was before EA bought BioWare.
That's right.
I don't know why this one didn't come to PS3. I don't know if it ever will. I
forgot about that. That's right.
I am glad it launched in 360 and PC at the same time, though.
Tatsunoko vs. Capcom Ultimate All-Stars for the Wii. I need to get that. No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle for the Wii. That's supposed to be pretty good, actually.
Blood Bowl.
Bowl, sorry.
It's football set in the Warhammer universe.
Is this an Xbox Live Arcade game? Or?
No, no, it's a full retail. Oh. I think it's coming to PC, really? Too. What it is people took like their Warhammer figures and made a rule set to play football with them.
Oh, I remember.
And then they turned into a video game.
Interesting. Shadow of Destiny for PSP, right?
Yeah. What is this?
Hotel Giant 2 for PC. Marines Modern Urban Combat for the Wii. That's funny. Duty of Publisher. Puzzle Chronicles DS Puzzle Chronicles for the DS and the PSP. Fast Food Panic for the Wii. And 19 Warning Insanely Addictive. What? That's okay. Alright. Alright. How long have we got here? 40 minutes? Alright. I'm tired.
I gotta go to the wedding reception.
Alright, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yay.
You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
I guess I should say congratulations on getting married, Jack, because he listens to the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He listens. We're in his gaming podcast.
I didn't know he listened.
Yeah,
I'm
sure listen. Thanks, buddy.
All right, then. I guess that's it. We'll see you all next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.